We're up to the middle of Perek Dalet. How to acquire Zahirus. How to acquire being careful about what you do. And we explained already what the parameters of that means. It means before you do something to consider what you're doing, if it's right or wrong. After you've done it, to assess whether taka it was done in such a way that was right, wrong for the future. How do you acquire that? So he says that the three kinds of people, and each one needs a different incentive. There are people on a very high level, and their incentive is more the shlemus, the idea that they're geared for perfection, right? And they should feel terrible if they won't be able to reach perfection in everything, and realizing that Torah and mitzvahs are the only way for a person to reach perfection in this world to get the next world. And if the Torah and mitzvahs are imperfect, then the result is imperfect. That's enough to give an incentive to people on a very high level. Most people today are not on that level. That's not what speaks to most people today. The in fact, the Mussar movement, right, basically said that most people today are on the lowest level. The lowest level, he says, are people who are affected by schar and onish, punishment, reward in the next world, right, thinking about how much gehenim you're going to get and how much schar you're going to get or whatever. That's the lowest level. We'll get to that. And most Mussar deals with that. That's what the Sfarim say, that most Mussars deal to giving you a tzir of gehenim and what's it called, and Gan Eden. And I saw a sefer today that says that that's not what speaks to people today. Most people are unfazed by hearing how much gehenim they're going to get or whatever, because emes lamito, most people don't know really. They believe, but they don't really believe. The difference is, you believe something intellectually, but you don't really feel it. Right? So the belief is very weak, and therefore to hear all these tziurim of what you're going to get, this onish in gehenim or that one, doesn't affect most people today. And therefore the focus, he says, today is a different focus altogether, more the middle way, which we're going to discuss today. Okay, so people today aren't affected by the high level and not affected by the lower level, right, which used to affect people much more. Most people are affected by, we'll get to what we're going to discuss today. These are people who are not on the lowest level, but they're not on the highest level. They're a level less than the highest level of people who are affected by not being perfect, by missing perfection, okay, which we spoke about last time. These people are on a level where kovod interests them. And we'll see not the baser kovod, but a much more dignified kovod. That's what we're talking about over here, right? And that's how you, a person can arouse himself, right, and can initiate a feeling of wanting to be careful of what I do, because if not, I'm going to lose my respect. I'm not going to get the kovod that I could get. Everybody will agree that not everybody is going to be equal in the world to come. Right? People will be on different levels in the world to come according to what they accomplish in this world. And there'll be different gradations, and people will have reached different levels of attainment based on what they did in this world. Bigger tzaddikim will get more schar or more kovod in the next world. Lesser tzaddikim will get less kovod. Okay. The shelo yisrom elafi amaisim, and it all goes according to what you did in this world. And that which will make one person bigger than another person is what you accomplish in this world. A person who has a small amount of deeds in this world, small doesn't only mean quantity, quality and quantity put together, so he'll be lower in the world to come. In Cain, Efo, Eich Yuchal Ha'odam Lahalim Enu Mimaisav Olamayit Ishtadlusha Bazeh. How could a person, therefore, people by nature, right, are concerned about their kovod? right? They want to have a good standing in this world, Kol Shekein in the next world. So how could a person therefore not want to do more maisim and make them more perfect so his standing in the next world will be greater? And once you're there, you can't correct it. So a person should therefore be very careful in this world to make sure that he does the things that will bring him the kind of kavod that he'll want in the next world, since it's an eternal kavod, and there's nothing you can do to change it.
There
are many people who fool themselves into thinking, you know, we don't want to be pigs in this world. Why, you know, we don't want to take too much olam haba, you know, leave something for somebody else. Well, we're satisfied to be beinonim, to be average people, right? We don't have to go overboard, and, you know, as long as we're not rishoyim, we're going to be going to Gehenim. Right, we keep mitzvahs, we do what we have to do, and we're basically good people. That's enough. You know, we don't need more. We don't want to hog, you know, olam haba.
Anachnu lo nidchok atzmeinu likonis began eden lifnayv lifnim.
Why should we push ourselves to get into higher and higher places in Gan Eden? We're satisfied being average.
Im lo yelonu chele gadol yelonu chele katan.
If we don't have the big share in the world to come, we have a small share.
Anu dai lonu bezeh.
It's enough for us. That's people fool themselves, and therefore they don't put in the effort to really be careful with what they do and to see that it's done really properly. And we're not going to make the load that we have to carry in this world heavy, because it's enough for us to be just, you know, average. Ask these people the following question. What about this world? Forget about the next world. In this world, how do you feel if somebody else gets more covered than you, is more mechubed or whatever, and you're not like that? Can you stand it in this world? You're saying that you'll be able to stand it for eternity in the next world where it really counts. In this world where it doesn't really count and it's only temporary, can you accommodate yourself? What's the word I'm looking for? Can you suffer it? No, what's the word? Can you tolerate it? That's the word. Can you tolerate it in this world?
Okay. The kol shekein echad mi'avdeyem u'min ha'aniyim ha'nivzim u'shvolim b'neihem.
Somebody that you consider much lower than your social standing. Some poor person, or somebody who's your servant, right? Your employee. You're the boss. Right? How do you feel if he gets more covet than you get? It won't bother you, and your blood won't boil within you to see this, somebody else getting more covet than you think you deserve, and they deserve less than you? In this world, the regular pashat the covet, right, makes people do a lot of things, right, that are not so easy, that to sacrifice for the sake of covet. So do you think that your need for covet will be less in the world to come? Right? If you're motivated by covet in this world, which is really vain covet, then how about the real covet? We'll see what we'll say what real covet is in a second. If for eternity you're going to be put down and other people above you, right, because of what they accomplish in this world, you don't think it's going to bother you eternally? If people feel that way for perceived covet, which is not real covet altogether, right? It's vain covet in this world. That's how a person reacts. Velo hahinase ela shav sheker. All of this in this world is really vain and false, right? It's not real covet.
איך יוכל לספור שירו עצמם שפלים יוסם יוסם אנושם עצמם אשר הם עטו שפלים מהם?
How is a person then going to be able to stand that when we're talking about real eternal kavod and people who are much lower than them in this world are going to be much more esteemed in the next world because they were careful with what they did. But in this world they didn't get kavod because they didn't have the accoutrements of kavod that that go along with this world. They weren't rich, they weren't powerful, whatever. That's where real kavod applies. Even though we don't understand that today, we don't understand the eserka, we don't understand the value of such kavod. Therefore, people think, I don't need it. You know, when I'll get there, I'll worry about it. But don't say that, because if in this world it bothers you, how much more so is going to bother you in the next world? And there's nothing you can do about it. Of the Zmano Vanish Yakiru Lamito Litsarum Lubostum. They're going to be troubled by it and embarrassed. It'll be an eternal tsar to have to suffer that lack of respect that you'll have in the next world. Hare Lecha, let's just finish the paragraph and then Hare Lecha She'ein ha-savlonis hazeh she'ein dorshim li'asim l'hokum mehem chomer ha-avodeh le'pitui kozev she'mefate yitzar mosom v'lodov ramiti klal. Therefore, that which people convince themselves that doesn't bother me, you know, it's okay, I don't have so much olam haba, I'll be satisfied with, you know, with a minimal, they're fooling themselves. Because if that would be the case, they would be able to function like that in this world, and most people can't. Ukvar and if they really see what the kavod in the next world is, they surely couldn't fool themselves to thinking that it wouldn't make a difference to them. It's only because they don't really believe 100% what's going to be there that they're thinking, you know, what's going to be there, not even thinking about it. But something that's real to them, like kavod in this world, makes a difference, so when that'll become real, it's going to make a difference. And therefore, until they really see what the kavod of Olam Haba is, they're going to push it out of their mind and think that it's not, you know, doesn't make a difference to me, and then when it becomes effective, it's going to be too late. Shlomo HaMelech Olav HaSholom Kol Asher Timtze Yod Chalasos B'Chokach Aseh. That's what Shlomo HaMelech said. Whatever you have the power to do more, do it now. Because when you get to Olam Haba, there's no chance to make up for it. And he says, what does that mean? When a person does not do while he has the potential for doing it, from the fact that the Rabbanu Shem gives him the power to do it, which means you have free choice, and therefore that's only in this world. And as long as you have that free choice, you can correct and elevate your madrega for eternity. But once you leave this world, you don't have that power anymore. God takes it away. And there's nothing you can do in the next world to change your status. If you didn't do mitzvahs in this world, ma'isim tovim, you won't be able to do them there. That's not a place to do ma'isim tovim. And somebody who didn't make the assessment of what he did in this world is not going to be able to do it there. Now, simple, I think, idea means, I mean, what is the assessment? The assessment is only that you should be able to change your ways, right? So the assessment itself is only for this world. What's the purpose of making assessment in the next world is not going to help. But that's what he's saying. I think the simple idea is that you won't be able there to assess what you did and decide then to change it. Right? The first thing is, if you don't amass Maisim Tovim in this world, you're not going to be able to do it in the next world. So what are you going to think? Okay, I didn't do it, but there I'll make the Cheshbon and I'll correct it. No. There's no Cheshbonos over there to correct. You can't correct it. So the Cheshbon is useless. But I saw that the Reb Cheskel Sarna and others say that there's an intrinsic value to being able to assess your deeds. It's not just because you could change it or whatever. just the idea that a person can assess what he's done and come to grips with this is good, this is not good, or whatever, it makes more aware of who he is and what he is. Even that doesn't exist in the world to come. The whole concept of whatever it is you have, you have. You can't even reach a higher level of recognition of what your deeds are in the next world. That's the idea. Assessment is not only because you could change, but at least you understand better who you are, what you are, right? Sometimes, I guess, therapy, right, is not just to get solutions of what you can do to change, but to understand better what your position is. And sometimes when you have a better understanding, you feel better about yourself, or you understand things about yourself that you didn't know before, and it makes a difference in how you feel about your whole, what's it called, matzav. So that in itself is a positive thing. You can't even do that in the next world. Whatever you have, you have. You can't even make it better qualitatively. I think that's what they say. And whatever chokhmah you'll have, whatever level of understanding you'll have in this world, that's what you have in the next world. You can't become smarter in the next world. You're within the framework that you created in this world. That's why Shlomo Melech enumerated all these three things. There's no maisa. You can't make more maisim in the next world. Cheshbon v'das. You can't assess who you are more in the next world than you assessed who you are in this world. And you can't get more chachma in the next world than you had in this world. That's it. Here is the place to get it. And therefore you're going to be stuck with a level that you may not be happy with, because compared to somebody else, you're going to be low man on the totem pole. So will you be able to now? COVID is something that is vain. Person is supposed to run away from COVID. So how can we use that as something for Olam Haba? So we always explain that even in this world, there is a COVID that is positive. And that COVID is what's called self-esteem, self-respect. And that COVID, the Rabbeinu Yonah says, is the foundation of all Avodas Hashem. If a person doesn't realize his own self-worth, he doesn't realize that he's a mechubetika person, then he won't have any incentive to serve Hashem, because if I'm a nobody and I'm really a dirt bag, then why would God want me to serve him? And secondly, we have no incentive not to do things wrong, because if I'm a nobody, right, and good for nothing, then good for nothing things do good for nothing things. So what's the problem? It's only because a person has a certain amount of self-esteem, certain self-respect, and he understands who he is and what he is, that he has the incentive to serve Hashem and the incentive not to do things that are inappropriate. So that's the yisod of Avodas Hashem, self-esteem and self-respect. And I always like to say that what's the difference between that and gaiva, of being haughty, right? Person has to say, b'shvili nivra ha'olam, God created the world for one human, and one human being. The whole world was created for human beings, and I'm a human being. Why is that not haughtiness? So I've put it down into a formula of two sentences. Haughtiness, gaiva, is I'm important because I made myself important, and that gives me rights over other people. That's gaiva. Self-esteem is I'm important because God made me important, gave me the potential to become important, and that gives me responsibility. That's the difference between them. But there is a level of a person recognizing his own self-worth and feeling good about it and feeling that this is what he's here for, and he's accomplishing what he's supposed to be doing. And that kind of covet is the feeling you'll have in the next world. And that is the kind of covet that a person should use as an inspiration, as an incentive, that if in this world, for the vain kind of covet, you're what's it called, you feel terrible. And you won't be able to tolerate it. Kol shekein for the real kind of covet in the next world, where everybody's self-worth is determined. And that's what a person has for eternity. Knowing who they are and what they are and what they've accomplished. That is the tzar of Olam Haba. Tzadikim yoshvin, not Nehenem Iziv Ashchina, that's not what it is. It's not just sitting and enjoying God's presence. It's Atroseyem Berasheyem, with their crowns on their head. According to who you are, that's your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what gives you that Hanoah. And if you don't, who you are less, you have less Hanoah. So it's the crown on your head which gives you, which is your Chachma, your Maisim, that's called Atroseyem Berasheyem. Right? It doesn't say Atroseyem Al Rasheyem. It's not a crown on your head. It's not a false something attached. It's Atroseyem Birasheyem. It's the crown in your head. It's what you've accomplished, who you are. The more you are, the more your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because you're something more. Right? A lesser thing has less of a relationship. A more thing has more of a relationship. So that's the real covet. And that covet has a semblance in this world called self-esteem and self-respect that's based on who I am in God's eyes. So who are you going to be in God's eyes then is going to depend on what you create in this world. That's what we're talking about. And that is going to make a very big difference. And a person who doesn't think it makes a difference, at least take from the vain covet how you can't tolerate somebody else being more mechubed than you, right? That's going to have a thousand times, whereas we're talking about the real covet. And we have an semblance of what real covet is even in this world. There is an idea of real covet in this world too. But that's the Olam Haba, is that covet, the relationship, the Hanoah from the Rabbanu Shalom depends on how much self-esteem you're going to have over there based on what your real self-esteem is, what your real self-worth is. And the more worth you are, the more relationship you have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the Hanoah of Olam Haba. Yeah.
Since we're assuming here that the person who's on the lower level is going to be bothered all the time because his fellow man is forever on a higher level.
Right.
But then, since the other guy is on a higher level, he should be always bothered by the fact that his chaver is being tormented forever.
Reuven and Shimon. Tell me, Reuven and Shimon.
Okay, Reuven's on the higher level.
Okay.
Shimon's on the lower level, and this thing's going by the fact that Shimon is always bothered by the fact that Reuven achieved more forever. But now, Reuven, since he's on a higher level, and has therefore the sensitivity, he'll be always bothered to know that Shimon is being tormented.
Maybe not. I'll tell you why. Chazal say, "Mishein bodas also l'rachim olav." Very difficult, Maimer Chazal, what that means. Somebody doesn't have das, but it could be that once you get to Olam Haba, right, and everything is obvious that whatever a person did is his fault, right? You could have done, you decided not to. You had bechira, what? Then why should I feel bad for you? You caused it on yourself, and it's also l'rachim olav. In other words, in an ideal situation, that's not Rachmanis. What do I have Rachmanis on? Rachmanis is somebody is harming themselves. I have Rachmanis on them for that, right? Because you don't have das. You could have das. You could use your das. If you don't do it, it's your fault. So it's not Rachim. I should give you Musar. It's not a Rachmanis. Rachmanis is for things that you can't control. But things that you could have controlled and you caused on yourself, why should I have Rachmanis on? So it very well may be that in the next world, there's no place for that kind of feeling. In this world, you can feel like that. But even in this world, it says, Osul Rachim and Mishain Bodas. Kol Shekhin over there, where everything's going to be the MS, nothing to be Marachim. Right? You could have avoided it, and you didn't, yeah?
If in the next world, everything that you have is what you have and will be, and that's it, you can't change anything, so why are you judged every year?
So they ask even a better question, that there's a final judgment before Tchias HaMesim on everybody again. L'chora, everybody's jinn didn't change since they died. So just take out the dossier and check what was when they died. You can't change anything there. But what you did and put in motion in this world can affect you in the next world. Meaning, I did mitzvahs in this world that have payers to them, right? That have dividends. I paid the tuition of somebody to be able to go to a yeshiva, and without that he would have gone to public school. So then the person dies and he gets 10 points for paying this guy's tuition.
Okay, put it on his record, he gets 10 points for paying tuition. This guy goes, and every day he's learning Torah that he wouldn't have learned had he been in public school. So we add another few points every day for this guy's Talmud Torah, and this guy's cheshbon, because his mitzvah is reaping dividends. Then that guy gets married, has children, he brings them up to be B'nai Torah, which he wouldn't have done had he gone to public school and gone off the derech. So now his children's mitzvahs are accrued to this guy, and his grandchildren. And one children becomes a reshiv and he has students, his students' mitzvahs. So by the time Tchias HaMesim comes, there could be, I can't do anything more, but if I set into motion in this world things that bear fruit, that create dividends, right, then I get credit for that in the next world too.
Is that a one-time judgment, or is, I mean,
no? So it's something that every year could be now is a different thing. The dividends, like just like you get a stock, appraisal every year on what your dividends were for that year. It works the other way too. If you set things in motion in this world,
it's not
which
like
are negative,
that you get it's right.
It's on every year, right? There's dividends for that year, and there's also negative things that you may have set into motion in this life, and they then affect you in the next world. You can't do anything new, but not everything is new. Things are set into motion that go for generations. That's the idea.